Hello, and welcome back to another mini bubble of this little old podcast, My Streaming Bubble. I'm your host, Jen, and I am back in the TV watching and podcast recording seat as I continue my watch along of HBO's The Last of Us. This time, trying to make it through episode 3 with minimal sad or scared noises, but I give absolutely zero guarantees. So after the first one made me cry and the second one made me scream, I have no idea what's coming at me from this third episode titled Long, Long Time. I see this is the one with Nick Offerman, and I think this is a gonna make Jen ugly cry episode, but there's only one way to find out. So I'm gonna go ahead and hit play, rewatch the previously on because I'm sure they want to show sad and scary parts all over again. And go from there. So, without further ado, here are my reactions to Long, Long Time. Oh, here we go. The scary parts. Oh, fuck. I knew it was coming. It still got me. Jesus Christ. Ow! No! The weird fiber things going into Tessa's mouth. It's so sickening. Oh, fuck. Well, that didn't take long. I do really like this intro. I think last time I said it's got kind of like the music of it kind of reminds me of Sherlock in a way. But the way that the intro plays out with like this virus spreading and kind of the sprouts growing up and everything, or I don't know, sprouts, whatever. And just the way that the whole thing kind of progresses definitely reminds me a lot of like the Game of Thrones intro when we follow through the different houses and through Westeros and everything. So I like it. I like intros. Maybe not necessarily the really long 90s sitcom intros, although there is some nostalgia attached to it. But, you know, like a lot of shows seem to not really be doing intros, maybe a title card or something. But when they do them, they're so far very good, very much like it. So I'm going to stop talking because the show has started. 10 miles west of Boston. Oh, I dropped my pen. Atta girl, Ellie. She's absolutely right. None of this is her fault. I'm glad he understands that. Also, I feel like the woods would be like the worst place to be with this kind of outbreak. Just me? Like, I don't like it. All right, why in zombie apocalypse series do they not allow the kids to have, like, weapons, especially when they're out tromping through the woods? That's one thing I'll always give Carol credit for in The Walking Dead. I think it was maybe the prison. I don't remember which season it was, but she started teaching kids how to use the weapons and defend themselves, and she was absolutely fucking right in that instance, not at the look at the flowers. Well, maybe she was a little right. It's for another day. Mortal Kombat arcade game. That's awesome. Ooh, the sassiness between these two. I love it. She's just gonna plunk down there all by herself. Jesus Christ. Well, at least she gave herself an out. Smart setting up that garbage can. Mm-mm. Oh, the face in the rubble, no. it moved. Oh my God, it's so fucking gross. Ellie, what the fuck are you doing? No. Oh, that was really fucking gross. Oh, not the pancake mix.
Not today. You new world order jackfruit fox.
Yes. Ron fucking Swanson. I love the gas mask. Jesus Christ, that's a huge generator. love it. I'm having way too much fun with this, so something terrible is going to happen, and right? Love seeing someone, like, kind of ready and prepared. Like, I'm sure as much of, like, a nut job as he seemed prior to all of this with his basement and his guns and ammo subscription and kind of prepping ways, he's thriving, and you know what? Good for him. That was a great booby trap. Never gets old. I bet it doesn't. 4 years later. Oh, love it. Okay, I love Frank. The look on his face at the plate of food. So adorable. These two just make me smile. The best of Linda Ronstadt. Oh, these two. Oh, my God. 3 years later. Oh, now they're fighting.
It was an inside job, and the government are all Nazis.
The government are all Nazis!
He's got the gun at the dinner table. Not inside. Oh, they were the ones using the music genre codes. Liked how Joel was trying to use Bill's general paranoia and prepping survivalist nature to try and convince him that working together would be good. All right, now, 3 years later, 2013. Oh, I love these two so much. Oh, that probably would be an amazing strawberry. Oh, shit, here they come. Oh, damn, those are some big-ass explosions. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Wait, what? Okay, so we're present day. Bill's alive and not the one in the wheelchair. This is not okay stuff. Oh, my God. Yeah, that was definitely heartbreaking, but not in the way I was expecting. Holy shit. Oh, and since this has obviously been edited down, just so you know, I was a bawling, slobbering mess through, like, that whole fucking episode. Well, maybe not the whole episode. I was smiling. I was really happy when they were like, when Bill and Frank first meet and everything, and just their initial interactions. Ugh. That was fucking rough. All right, so what a fucking episode. Holy shit. I was not prepared for that kind of a gut punch. Like I had a feeling this one was going to hurt emotionally, and it did. Like I said, I basically cried through, like, the entire last half of that fucking episode. First half, I'm just, like, grinning and smiling. I'm just like, oh, my God, these guys are so cute. They're so adorable. Anticipating the terrible thing that's going to happen. Of course, I think it's going to be zombie-related or infected-related, as they're referring to them in this series. But no, it's just kind of a more of a everyday type problem, you know, like pre-apocalypse. There was no cure for cancer before, so why would there be now? And just that emotional gut punch, and it was just, it was so beautiful, and it hurt so fucking much. It's not nice. But I loved it all the same. I do kind of wonder, other than just making us ugly cry for an episode, what is the point of this one? Like I said, I loved it. I loved kind of seeing how love can still flourish in the apocalypse. And I loved how Bill and Frank kind of met each other. And then that bit of a twist with, Bill, Nick Offerman's character, where we see in the beginning he's a prepper. He's got his bunker and he's hiding from the Fedra people, the government and everything. And so you kind of get that sense like, okay, so he's that type, right? And then it's kind of revealed, you know, that he's also gay. And Frank was able to pick up on that. Now, I did not. So if there were clues, I completely missed them. But so I loved that. And I think they even said, I think Bill's character even says something like, not what you would expect. Like, I know I'm not what you would expect or something like that. Just like the sweetness of those two and kind of like their first time together and like Bill's first time. Like, oh my God, I loved it so much. It was so beautiful. It's so fucking heartbreaking. And like I said, I loved it so much. So yes, finding love in the apocalypse, married life in the apocalypse, this kind of like bickering that we see a few years in where Frank wants to kind of, you know, spruce up the place and Bill does not. And he's very much like, no. And clearly there's some sort of compromise because by the end, Frank wants to be taken to the boutique and pick out some really nice clothes for them so they can get married in. So he gets his way. And then how they're related or how they're entwined with Joel and Tess. And I liked that we got a little bit more Tess in a flashback. So I'm kind of hoping that that kind of continues. So we're not completely left without Tess because I really liked her. And it's very sad. We lost her so fucking soon, but making up for it by hopefully sprinkling her in through flashbacks and everything. Yeah, so I like, so again, these with the flat through the flashbacks and seeing how Joel and Tess meet up with Bill and Frank and their first little dinner, and that was so cute and how like kind of picturesque and a nice, you know, during a zombie apocalypse, like a nice outside civilized lunch, delicious food, amazing wine pairings and all of that. So that was just, I really kind of liked seeing that. And it was really fun. And I liked seeing how Bill and Joel, they don't really trust each other. Joel gets it. And by the end, through Bill's note to whomever, but likely Joel, and how he says that he's never really liked him, but he respects him and how the world needs people like them. And oh my God, if I keep going, I'm going to start fucking crying again. So so I just kind of like that dynamic between those two, and then how Frank was building that relationship with Joel and Tess and trading one of Bill's small guns for a packet of strawberry seeds and how they were able to grow fresh strawberries. And those were some of the best looking fucking strawberries I've ever seen in my life. Oh my God. And I bet in an apocalypse situation like that, that would probably be the most amazing tasting strawberry ever. So the end of the life of Bill and Frank is so fucking bittersweet. And, you know, like I said, Frank being the one in the wheelchair and the one being sick was not the one that I expected to see. I'm sure other viewers weren't really expecting that considering how the previous scene had ended with Bill being shot and passing out and appearing to be dead And so I was like, oh, shit. So it kind of made sense in what I was prepared for. But it was, so when the next scene starts and we see that it's Frank in the wheelchair and he's sick, we find out it's cancer, maybe possibly have suffered a stroke, but he's got pills, medication, so I'm guessing we're left to assume that that's what, that's why Joel was getting the pills from the one guard in the first episode, because then, yeah, we find out that they're the ones communicating via radio through music genre code, as I loudly expressed during the recording, during the watching of the, during that moment. So the ending of Frank and Bill, so fucking heartbreaking, and hats off to both the actors, Nick Offerman and Murray Bartlett. And oh my God, I am like, totally, I am maybe a little obsessed with Murray Bartlett right now, because holy shit, between this and like White Lotus season one, just blowing me away. It's just doing a phenomenal job. So I loved it. It was so fucking good and so fucking heartbreaking. And the way he decides that this is how he's going to go and that he wants that one last perfect day with Bill, and Bill's gonna, and he wants Bill to agree to everything and not put up a fuss about what he's gonna wear and all of that, and that they're gonna get married and, you know, exchange rings, and oh my God. And Bill's reaction to that, and that heartbreak and that sadness and the resistance and not wanting to because of the finality of it all, was, it just felt so fucking real. And then at the end, when Bill goes to serve Frank the wine, and he pours the wine out and everything, and he pours the crushed up pills into Frank's glass and everything, and Bill has poured himself a glass, and he kind of chugs that down, and then we find out that Bill had put a bunch of pills, crushed up pills, in the wine bottle itself, so that they're both going to die together in each other's arms, go to sleep. Fall asleep in each other's arms. Oh my God. Ah! But Bill's reasoning for it was just, it was so beautiful and sad and heartbreaking. And like Frank says, from an objective standpoint, it was very romantic. And you hate to see it, but you kind of love to see it. This love that thrived during, you know, humanity's like darkest times and all of that. It was so beautiful. And it just kind of, I think, also shows that even during these dark apocalyptic scenarios, these kind of more real life, quote, normal situations can still happen and still emotionally destroy us. And then, so kind of the B plot, I guess, to this episode is Joel and Ellie trying to make their way to Frank and Bill. Joel obviously has no idea that any of this has transpired. And by the time they make it to Bill and Frank's, it's clear that this happened a while ago. I can't remember what the date said, if a date had flashed up or anything, but so yeah. So I really liked seeing again those two and their kind of relationship and how that is evolving through their journey, and just kind of being reminded that like Ellie was born into this. She's baffled by airplanes and running vehicles, and she doesn't know what a seatbelt is. And I think it's just so interesting to see kind of a little bit of that perspective from essentially a kid during an apocalypse. And how she's just amazed by these things that, you know, Joel is familiar with. He's flown in airplanes. Clearly, he's driven vehicles and worn seatbelts and all of that. And that's all very, you know, normal stuff for us. But to think about being born into a world where that shit doesn't exist and then seeing it, and especially like in ruins like that, and still being amazed by it, I think it's so interesting And I'm really enjoying seeing this world in through Ellie's eyes, someone born into it and that doesn't know the life and the world before everything fell. So I think that's about going to do it. I think I've touched on everything that I kind of quickly scribbled down while I was watching that I didn't get a chance to verbalize. I need to remember to keep tissues next to me while I watch because my sleeves were, this is kind of gross sounding, but my sleeves were very like tearful, wet, and kind of snotty gross because I just could not stop fucking blubbering. And oh, yeah. So this was an episode. And it was engaging, and I knew it was going to be sad, but I was not expecting that much sadness and heart. Like I said, I don't think I'm emotionally strong enough to watch this show. I don't know what I've done to myself. But that's going to do it for me today and for this episode. I hope you guys are enjoying listening to kind of my live reactions as I'm watching the episodes. As of this date, the series has since ended, and I think season 2 has already been renewed. It has been renewed for a second season. So playing catch up is going to be a lot of fun. I'm like super into this right now. So I'm going to go ahead and as soon as I'm done with this recording, I'm going to set up and start on episode 4 because I just can't get enough of heartbreak and I just need to destroy myself and ruin my fucking day. I swear I love this show, I promise. So, but yeah, so thank you for listening, everybody. And I hope you've enjoyed it. And don't forget to follow me on all the socials. You can find me on Twitter as Streaming Bubble. No, my and that. Facebook and Instagram as My Streaming Bubble. And if you have any thoughts or suggestions on what should stream in my bubble next, go ahead and send an email to mystreamingbubble@gmail.com. So until the next one, thanks for listening and keep streaming. Bye.